Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning to an inquest in Cork this week, which heard how 34-year-old father of one, Patrick Murphy, died after a heart condition, was initially misdiagnosed when he presented for treatment at the emergency department at Cork University Hospital in 2021. The inquest heard that a broken CT scanner at CUH was a contributory factor in Mr. Murphy's condition not being diagnosed until 24 hours after he presented to the emergency department. Now, our reporter Brian O'Connell was at the inquest for us yesterday and spoke exclusively to Mr. Murphy's family, including his widow, Kirti Krishnan Murphy. Brian is with us now. Brian, this is a tragic case. Will you outline for us firstly what happened?
Yes, good morning, Claire. Patrick Murphy was a fit, healthy father of one who in early September 2021, he was at home watching the Ireland-Portugal World Cup qualifier and he began to get sudden and severe chest pains. Now, at his inquest, serious lapses in his care were highlighted when he presented at one of the busiest emergency departments in the country at the CUH in Cork. Mr. Murphy was suffering an aortic dissection. This is a potentially fatal condition in which a tear occurs in the inner layer of the body's main artery, the aorta. But after presentation, and for much of the time while Patrick Murphy was under the care of the CUH, he was being treated for possible kidney stones and a CT scan, as you referenced, which could have ruled this out. It wasn't performed on time. It was delayed for some 11 hours because evidence was given that one of two scanners available at the emergency department was broken for some 21 hours. And this coincided with the time Mr. Murphy was being treated. The inquest heard that potentially life-saving hours were lost because of the failure to reach the appropriate diagnosis. Mr. Murphy underwent emergency surgery, but unfortunately and tragically, efforts to save his life failed. The CUH has issued a full apology to the Murphy family, which we'll get to.
And Brian, I know there was a recommendation made also around electronic medical records, but just after the inquest yesterday, you spoke to the Murphy family and their legal team.
And as you can imagine, Claire, the family were still processing the outcome of the inquest, where there was a narrative verdict recorded. So this detailed the circumstances leading up to the death of Patrick and included one recommendations. I spoke first to Mr. Murphy's widow, Kirti, and she began by telling me how she met Patrick and then what happened on the night back in early September 2021 when he began to feel unwell.
I met him in Lancaster University. He was going to pursue a PhD and I was going to do a master's. And I met him in the first week. We got chatting and he was really funny. And then we got engaged, got married in Ireland. He played five-a-side with his friends. He did run a few road races, I suppose. He was an active person, definitely a light in the room.
Take me back to 2021.
So Pat was watching the qualifiers. He was clutching his chest. He was silent, and that happened so quickly that I knew something registered, something was wrong. I could see that he was in a lot of pain. The fact that the ambulance didn't really arrive was another disaster. And when we finally made it to the hospital...
Well, so concerned were you that Pat made his own way to the hospital?
That's correct, yes, because we waited for a very long time for the ambulance, over 40 minutes.
So you were obviously assessing the situation at that point and you could see it was quite serious. And unfortunately, as we know now, when Pat presented at the CUH, at the emergency department, which is the main trauma centre for this part of the country, he didn't get the care he should have got.
Absolutely not. And for the fact that he had to wait for 9 hours is unacceptable. And he was in such agony that he was literally lying on the ground at some point. He was unable to sit, and there were medical staff that were walking around him. And I remember that vividly when I spoke to him the following day, and how he was doing. He was in a lot of pain.
There was an assumption that he had a certain condition, and that's the path that all the clinicians involved went down. But ultimately, it was the wrong path.
It was a misdiagnosis, right, from the very beginning, and was fairly unfortunate because it completely derailed the diagnosis. And I appreciate listening to everyone's statement this morning from the clinicians that obviously they had a lot of pressure And I think they had to make that decision fairly quickly.
And evidence was presented that of the two CT scanners, one of them actually wasn't working for 21 hours.
Yes, and that was shocking to hear.
In fact, Claire, it wasn't until 24 hours after Patrick presented at the emergency department at the CUH that the wrong diagnosis path would be corrected. And there was a realisation then this actually was a very serious heart-related event, as Kirti explains.
So a little after midnight on 3rd of September, after Pat had a seizure, that was when he had his CT scan where they diagnosed that he had an aortic dissection. So when they were wheeling him into the operation theatre, the chances of survival has definitely reduced.
How do you feel about the HSE apology?
I am appreciative that they do acknowledge the failings on their part and the fact that they were gaps in their own findings, in their procedures. What I am hopeful for is, considering that there is another hospital in Ireland, Tala Hospital, where they have a protocol in place that has demonstrated its effectiveness. There was a person that was actually saved as a result of this. That we could use a similar exercise here. And what I do hope out of all of this is that the recommendations are embedded, that actions are taken on ground. There's a lot of feelings, there's a roller coaster of emotions there. I think the only thing that would make it's hard enough to deal with the facts and the grief of it all, and to reconcile and make sense of it and grapple with the grief in itself and everything that we've learned today. I think the only thing that would make it somewhat, I could somewhat reconcile with it, is knowing that I would have a system where my son can rely on it in case he goes into a similar situation. We would also appreciate there's a suite of other actions, including a protocol and policy that could be implemented.
So as you've heard, the family have asked that several recommendations be made. One of those recommendations was around ensuring guidelines around this kind of heart issue were developed at the CUH. There was a recommendation they wanted an audit of the CT scanners that are available at the CUH, and they also asked for lessons from the event to be learned. In the event, the jury made just one recommendation, that the CUH would move to an electronic system of records as a matter of urgency. I also spoke to Suzanne Edwards, who's Patrick's sister, and she gave me her reaction just after the inquest had concluded yesterday evening.
I just feel kind of let down by the system. I feel like there could be a lot more resources put into the emergency department and CUH. I feel like that if Pat was seen in a timely manner by people who are familiar with aortic dissections, his life could be saved. And I feel like that could only be achieved by education, and it can be achieved by putting staffing the department properly, having the proper equipment maintained correctly, taking his death seriously and putting proper actions in place.
Nobody was shying away from the fact they were under considerable pressure.
No, and I think it was Dr. Leader mentioned that in 2021, when this event happened, they had much less staff than they do today.
When Pat presented on the timeline, there were long periods where, unfortunately, he was not getting the attention or the treatment that he required.
But yes, and even now, today, they say that they're the most under pressure emergency department in the country. And they had half the staff back then that they do today. So I can't imagine the pressure they were under the day Pat was there.
And what's your message to the HSE, to the CUH?
I feel like our message should be to the powers that be, to the politicians, the decision makers, the people who allocate funds, that funds should be given to the CUH so that they can resource the emergency department appropriately.
For you, how will you remember Pat?
My baby brother. He was a wonderful person. He was funny, kind, just great fun. Made all our lives just more crack.
That's Suzanne Edwards there, who is Patrick's sister. Now, Brian, we heard Suzanne calling for more resourcing around EDs. There was a lot of detail given at the inquest, which you referred to there, about just how much pressure the emergency department in the CUH was under at the time.
We'd heard from Dr. Frank Leader, who's head of education and training at the CUH emergency department. He was asked why it took 9 hours for Mr. Murphy to be seen by a doctor, given that he was triaged as a category 3 patient. Ideally, he would have been seen within an hour. Dr. Leader said it was extraordinarily difficult to meet that time frame. He said patients will unfortunately have to wait much longer than the 1 hour. He said we just do not have the resources to see patients within an hour. Internationally, he said it's an issue. He said we currently have the busiest emergency department in the country. The emergency department at CUH, Clare, would handle in the region of about 90,000 cases a year. There were days when they were seeing hundreds of patients. It was extremely challenging, we were told at the inquest, as it would have been the case in 2021. Dr. Leader indicated that 3 years ago, the CUH had 3 doctors on duty at night in the A&E department, 2 registrars and 1 junior doctor with a consultant on call. At times, staffing pressures were such that there might be 1 registrar and 2 junior doctors or a senior house officer. The resources have increased, he pointed out, but he said the A&E was and remains under pressure. Now, also during the inquest, consultant neuroradiologist Dr. Gerald Wise gave details of the number of scanners available at the CUH presently. It's increased since 2021, but he did say if they were given 6 scanners, they could actually use them all.
Now, you spoke to some of Mr. Murphy's legal team. No doubt, given the apology from the CUH, they are going to take the time now to assess what further action may follow on from this.
And that's for the future. But we heard from the legal team from Mr. Murphy during the inquest, including Deirna Mahoney, who's junior counsel. She was instrumental in the family seeking an inquest. She said in terms of Mr. Murphy's treatment, every step taken was a result of misdiagnosis. Everyone was singing from the same hymn sheet, she said, and it was the wrong hymn sheet. Dr. John O'Mahony, senior counsel, said the case should have been urgent from the get-go. In the end, yesterday, as I said, a narrative verdict was recorded in the case. It was a 7-1 majority verdict. The jury recommended electronic records be introduced urgently at the CUH, and this was actually a recommendation which had been suggested by the coroner, Philip Common. I spoke, Claire, with Roger Murray. He's partner with Callan Tansey Solicitors. He represented the family as well, and this is some of what Roger Murray had to say, and he began talking about the condition that Patrick developed.
This is a very serious condition, Brian, with a mortality rate of 2%. It goes up by 2% for every hour that it went undiagnosed. So Patrick was in ED and was in the hospital for over 27 hours. So his chances of success, we say, diminished by 54%+ for every hour that went by that his condition was undiagnosed. And Patrick was young and fit. He'd been a runner. He'd done marathons. He played five-a-side.
We got an insight into a hospital, into an emergency department under significant pressure.
The public at large have huge sympathy for the people working in the front line. The infrastructure sometimes isn't there to support these people.
Were you happy with the outcome of the inquest? So it was a narrative verdict with 1 recommendation. Were you happy with that?
It's not the same as a civil case or a criminal case. An inquest cannot impose liability. In the narrative verdict, the jury found that this was a misdiagnosis of which was wrong. So that's very significant for the family. As regards the recommendation that they came back with, crucially here, records were unavailable for Patrick's time, in particular in the afternoon of the 2nd and up to midnight when he collapsed. We can only speculate as to whether or not if appropriate observations had been done and records kept, whether or not Patrick's deterioration could have been picked up on earlier.
So where does the family go from here?
They have to reflect on the verdict and the recommendation. It's emotionally harrowing to sit through 2 days of evidence. I think they'll take significant comfort from the letter of apology. Certainly they'll get some comfort, I think, in time from the evidence that was given that they have spoken about Patrick's case, that they have learnings introduced in relation to it. And I think the evidence was clear that Patrick's, the tragic nature of what happened to Patrick was a catalyst for this change.
That's solicitor Roger Murray there. So Brian, the CUH offered an apology in full to the family, as we've heard. You've seen that letter.
Well, in the letter to the family sent from the CUH group, they apologise unreservedly and sincerely for failings in care during Patrick's admission to the CUH and their failure to diagnose an aortic dissection, which was the heart issue he had. They also say a review of Patrick's care highlighted a number of elements were not delivered as promptly as they should have been, and they sincerely apologised. They assured ensured the family lessons have been identified and shared across the CUH.
Brian, thank you very much. That's our reporter, Brian O'Connell. Our thanks too to the family of Patrick Murphy and our sympathies to them all. Now, coming up next, that breaking news on a major blow to FIFA on its player transfer rules, which have been deemed to go against European Union laws. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.